How many of us at one point in our lives have had a vision? Visions for where we thought we would go and what we would do. Places that we thought we'd see. All sort of wrapped up in our head. And how many of them have been grand and glorious visions? Things that we aspire to, things that we want to do. I mean, how many folks have mediocre visions? Bland and dull visions. It's not really a vision, is it, if it's just sort of there? Throughout the history of Christianity, one of the things that I think we can say is that it's a religion of vision. In 311, then the general Constantine had a vision of a large Cairo on a banner. So he created the banner, won the victory at the Mulvian Bridge, paving his way to become emperor, and thereby allowing for Christianity to be legal. We have the great mystics, one of which, Julian of Norwich, writes massive visions, and some are rather gruesome, but some, she talks about seeing the entire created order the size of a hazelnut in her hand. And seeing God's love for all of that creation. All of it. We have visions throughout the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Last week in Acts, we heard Paul's vision of the risen Christ coming. Saul, why do you persecute me? Blinded by the glory of that vision, Paul is converted. Right next in the 10th chapter of Acts, right after pretty much our reading today, Peter has a vision. Peter's vision is that all of the distinction between clean and unclean, God wipes out. Peter's hungry. He wants to eat, and God unfolds a sheet with food before him, but it's all unclean. He says, I can't eat it. And God says, don't call unclean what I have now called clean. Removal of the distinction, allowing for the Gentiles to come into the fold. Grand and glorious visions for thousands of years now. And we might be really tempted to think that's what it's all about. It's all about these grand and glorious visions. Our Revelation text is the entire book of Revelation is a massive vision given to John on the Lord's Day. Given to him, and here we see the great multitude that no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they sing. They sing echoes of the song that we sing in our hymn of praise, This is the Feast. Blessing and glory and power and might. These are grand and glorious visions that the church has upheld. And it's good to have a vision like Revelation, which gives us the end, that we know that the end is wrapped up in grand and glorious visions. Something big and spectacular, where all the hurts and the pains of this world are gone. Where every tear will be wiped away, all the hungry will be fed, no one will grieve anymore. That is a great and glorious vision. But we might miss something. Here in Acts today, in between Paul's great conversion and Peter's vision that brings in the Gentiles, is a lowly widow named Tabitha. Now, remember, Christianity really becomes a major place for widows. Widows were often on the fringes of society. They had no one to care for them, no one to look out for them, no one to watch for them. We can't call the widows grand and glorious. Can't call really the care for them, all that, the care that they received on the very fringes, grand and glorious. And yet here, the people in Joppa know that about 10 miles away, Peter is there in Lydda. Peter, the apostle of the apostles, right? The cornerstone, the center of the inner circle, the guy next to Jesus. He's over there. When Tabitha dies, they say, go get Peter. Who summons the great and grand Peter? For a widow. The church does. The church is the place where the widows have found a haven. The church is the place where the widows find care. And a word spoken to them that you're not on the outside. You're the very heart of the people we're called to care for. The lowly, the outcast, the people on the fringes, you know what? You're not anymore. You're on the inside. It's not really... Well, let's say this. If we were going to plan how to build a religion, our vision would probably not be dealing with those gathering up the lowly and the outcast. Right? We'd want to target the rich and the powerful. I mean, that's who you build your stuff on, right? Except not here. God's grand and glorious vision for the kingdom is not one that's built on our power, on our vision. It's built on something else. This vision is built on God's care. Remember all the way back in Exodus, right? He decides to call a lonely guy, or out of Genesis, he calls one guy. A child, a family, a childless couple, Abraham and Sarah. He says, you two, I'm going to make a great people out of. That people gets rolling, and they end up as slaves. And he goes on and said, I've heard my people. And he pulls them out. Continually, God goes to those who are in bondage, who are oppressed. So we're not stuck with thinking that, no, we got to go for the powerful. God continues to reach out and to bring about a people, not in our grand and glorious visions, but out of his. Setting up a people where the widow is cared for. Now, we've probably all done this. When someone, I think clearly Tabitha is one of the beloved in there in Joppa. When we hear of someone so beloved, someone who's done such great works, we can't wrap our head, when she dies, we can't wrap our heads around this death. And we want to ascribe some sense of order and connection to it. We want to make sure that we understand that really it's all about God and what God has done. And so we say things like, God needed her more. This is a woman that they said, she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. This is someone in the midst of this community who continues to do good things, who continues to point people to Christ through her actions. Because charity is not just being nice to the lowly. Being dedicated to acts of charity, charity is that agape love. Caritas. It's about friendship with God. Her good works show her love of God, reaching out to others. If God needs anyone, God needs that sort of person down here, working. Every time we hear that phrase, God needed her somewhere else, God needed that person, it's not true. That kind of person is the type God needs here. Sin, death, and the devil want her gone to keep us separated. Keep us pulled apart, always guessing, not knowing. And so it is that Peter walks into the room and God says, get up. God cares not just for the widows, but God is going to make himself known through this community that centers itself around the poor, the widows, the outcasts. Because how do you begin to tell people about this love of God? How do you begin to wrap them around this friendship with God if, in fact, they're scrabbling for their very existence? It is hard to hear the gospel when you're trying to fill your belly. When you're worried about where your next meal is coming from, where you're going to live. It's not just about doing good things. It is about centering on the proclamation of this God and who he cares for. And Tabitha is each and every one of us. Those of us who aren't big and important and powerful. Those of us who don't have grand and glorious visions that get remembered throughout the ages. But those who go about the tasks of good works and charity. So that at some point, someone can see the scraps of cloth that we've sewn together. Little things in our lives that continue to point people to the great love of God in Christ. And when it's all done, those meager scraps knit together, like Tabitha has done, they get exchanged. Christ comes to us in the waters of baptism and exchanges our garments, imperfect that they are, full of sin and twisted knots and brokenness, gives us a new garment of his very own righteousness. Today, Nikki, you take on Christ's garment, knit by him, his righteousness, as he takes away your sin. We lowly people, we are made to be part of Christ's body. Not because we've had any grand experience, not because we've had any incredible vision. But precisely because God has a vision for each of us, that we are to be His holy people here in this world, out and about, being dedicated to good works and acts of charity, friendship with God, knowing that we have been grasped by Him and He will not let us go. We do begin to hear His voice, following Him, moving in His direction. And maybe at times, though imperfect, we too begin to glimpse God's vision and where it is that He calls us. Thanks be to God. Amen.